Picture Isaac Newton, the man who decoded gravity, invented calculus, and unlocked the mathematical secrets of the universe, sobbing over a financial catastrophe. In 1720, after wisely selling his South Sea Company shares for a handsome profit, Newton watched prices soar even higher. Unable to bear the agony of missing out, he dove back in at double his selling price, just weeks before the bubble exploded. His losses exceeded $20,000, roughly $20 million today. "I can calculate the motions of the heavenly bodies," he later confessed, "but not the madness of the people." If genius couldn't save Newton from financial ruin, what chance do the rest of us have? The uncomfortable truth is that intelligence offers zero protection against the psychological forces that hijack our investment decisions. Fear, greed, overconfidence, and the irresistible pull of the crowd transform even brilliant minds into reckless gamblers. Understanding these forces and recognizing them in ourselves becomes the difference between building wealth and watching it vanish. The South Sea Bubble began in 1711 as a solution to Britain's war debt. Investors swapped government IOUs for company shares paying 6% interest, backed by an exclusive South American trade monopoly. When stock traders were expelled from London's Royal Exchange, they gathered in coffeehouses, turning investing into a social spectacle. Directors spread rumors of boundless trade opportunities. Silver will become as common as iron. Installment plans democratized speculation. Buy 300 in shares with just 60 down. Fast forward 280 years to the dot-com frenzy, and the script remained identical. Neoforma.com skyrocketed 300% on its first day to $3 billion, with just $460,000 in revenue. When Barron's revealed 74% of internet companies had negative cash flow, the collapse accelerated. Yahoo plummeted 52.4%, Amazon fell 54.7%, Pets.com cratered 81%. The pattern repeats because human psychology doesn't evolve at technology's pace. Whether South Sea monopolies or internet businesses, the same cocktail of overconfidence, herding behavior, and FOMO drives prices to unsustainable heights before reality reasserts itself. September 2008 delivered a collapse that dwarfed previous crashes. Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy with $613 billion in debts, six times larger than WorldCom, nearly 10 times larger than Enron. The roots trace to the early 2000s when the Federal Reserve slashed interest rates to near zero. Investors, desperate for returns, discovered mortgage-backed securities, bundles of home loans sliced into tranches with varying risk levels. The safest tranches received top credit ratings, allowing institutional investors to enjoy superior returns while technically meeting safety mandates. Overconfidence reached staggering levels. Citigroup estimated the likelihood of defaulting on its $100 billion in mortgage-backed securities as less than 0.01%, expecting maximum losses of just $10 million. Reality delivered $50 billion in losses and a 98% stock price collapse. Goldman Sachs admitted $72 billion of its assets were level 3, so esoteric that accurate valuation was nearly impossible. By September, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac entered government conservatorship, and Bank of America acquired Merrill Lynch at a 77% discount. The lesson? Complexity isn't sophistication. It's often a mask for risk that explodes without warning. When markets plunge, investors stop checking their accounts. This ostrich effect occurs because checking balances feels wonderful during gains, but agonizing during losses. Men and wealthier investors prove especially susceptible. The wealthy face larger absolute losses, while men's tendency to pay attention only during good times fuels overconfidence. Studies reveal investors are twice as likely to check accounts after market gains and three times more likely to trade following positive movements. This avoidance causes investors to miss opportunities to deploy cash, harvest tax losses, or rebalance portfolios. Investors with limited attention make poor selections, becoming net buyers of stocks with high trading volume or large price movements, regardless of fundamentals. Google search volume serves as a proxy for investor attention, with increased searches typically followed by slightly negative returns because professional traders already acted on market-moving news. The irony? Ignoring your portfolio during downturns prevents you from taking the very actions that separate successful long-term investors from perpetual underperformers. We're neurologically wired to follow crowds when uncertain. When Arizona's Petrified Forest National Park removed signs normalizing theft, thefts dropped by one-third. Messages emphasizing preservation cut theft by 80%, demonstrating social proof's power. During the 1997-98 Asian crisis, Korean investors who previously acted independently suddenly mimicked each other, pushing worst-performing stocks too low and best performers too high. Contrarian investors who resisted outperformed by 9 percentage points. Brain imaging reveals that when our opinions differ from the group, our amygdala activates, triggering fear responses similar to physical danger. Subjects changed correct answers to match wrong group consensus 27% of the time. This emotional response explains why even Newton lost fortunes following crowds into the South Sea bubble, and why social media drove 2021's GameStop frenzy. Keynes noted that investors often aren't picking the best companies, but rather those they think others will favor, turning investing into a recursive guessing game, creating dangerous feedback loops. Examining 124 years of Dow data reveals that 52.4% of trading days show gains, barely better than a coin flip. Day-to-day returns show virtually no correlation, meaning markets are essentially random despite what momentum traders believe. The crucial insight? Time dramatically improves investing odds. While only 52.4% of days are profitable, 58.4% of months show gains, 66.1% of years, and 82.6% of 10-year periods. The equity risk premium, stocks outperforming treasury notes by 2.6 percentage points annually, exists partly because investors suffer from myopic loss aversion, obsessing over short-term performance rather than their actual long-term horizons. Diversification truly is the only free lunch on Wall Street. A portfolio combining 70% Dow Jones stocks with 30% Treasury notes would have grown to $995.37 from the Dow's creation through 2020, outperforming the Dow alone while decreasing risk. Mainstream investments, quality stocks, low-cost ETFs tracking broad markets, and diversifying bonds consistently outperform exotic, illiquid investments that often trap wealthy individuals. The boring truth? Invest, keep investing, stay invested, and diversify. This approach eliminates anxiety while harnessing time's compounding power. Building wealth requires protecting yourself from your own worst instincts. Status quo bias makes us irrationally prefer existing choices, even when alternatives would benefit us more, typically costing about 5% annually. The disposition effect, selling winners too soon while holding losers too long, wastes investing's most powerful element, time. The solution is structural. Invest in broad-based, low-cost ETFs rather than individual stocks, eliminating the temptation to hold individual losers. Loss aversion, feeling losses about twice as intensely as equivalent gains, prevents appropriate risk-taking, despite favorable odds. The U.S. stock market historically shows three-year periods averaging gains of 37.1% versus losses of 17.9%, improving to 3-to-1 over 5 years and 6.4-to-1 over 10 years. We don't buy the best stocks. We buy attention-grabbing ones with abnormal trading volume, big price moves, or quirky CEOs that crash hardest during bear markets. Studies examining U.S. households from 1991 to 1996 found that those who traded least earned 18.5% annually, while heavy traders earned just 11.4%. Your greatest enemy isn't market volatility. It's the face staring back at you in the mirror.